You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org. Here's Pastor Greg Mott.
It's so good to be back. That's okay. Well, thank y'all. Y'all look better to me than I look to you, I can promise you that. Go ahead and sit down. I'm encouraged. I didn't see a single Longhorn clapping for me, though. That was the only thing. We can have unity in Christ. You didn't enter into a tailgate party. You entered into back to school. So we're all being true to our school and trying to do that. But man, it is so good to be back. Just as I said in the video, I have missed y'all so much. Somebody came up to me after the first service. And they said, well, can we quit coming to church for a month? I went to church. I just didn't come here to church. And it was so encouraging to see what God's doing throughout our world. I mean, throughout our city, went to a couple churches here in our city. It was an amazing thing to see how God is using so many places for his kingdom and his gospel. It's a blessing. We went to Austin, so you Longhorns, that's okay. We went to Austin for a while for our sabbatical. That was great. We went to Utah for part of our sabbatical. We were here in Houston for part of our sabbatical. Utah was probably the best because for 7 days straight, it never got above 80, and I didn't break a sweat the entire time. It was amazing. It was the first time in the entire summer I hadn't showered 4 times in a day. And so it was just a great, great time to be able to be there and to just receive that. Sabbatical, kind of what happens, you know, I know it's a little bit hard to understand, but I take the mornings and I study, and then I take the afternoons and I basically play with my family, and we hang out as a family. It's just a great time to do that. So the mornings, I'm in the Word, I'm studying, I'm looking through John, I'm doing all different things. I got to work on, you know, as y'all know, I have a book that's going to come out in December, so that's really exciting. So I got to finish that thing up and to be done with that. And so that was great. So it was really a lot of work in the mornings, and then the afternoons, we would just play, and we'd have a lot of fun with that. And what happens on those times when you get away with the Lord like that for an extended period of time, your life is probably like my life, and it's measured in hour increments. You do something from 9 to 10, then something different from 10 to 11, and then 11 to 12, then you go to lunch, 12 to 1. It moved my life into measuring time in morning, afternoon, and evening. That's a different place to hear from God about. When your days begin to be morning, afternoon, and evening, there's a slowness that begins to happen. There's a difference that begins to happen. I began to work on the ministry, not just work in the ministry. Vastly different. When you get away and you can work on the ministry, and you're looking and saying, okay, where are we going? What are we doing? What do we need to be talking about? What are you doing in my heart, God? Instead of just being in the ministry all the time. And so that aspect was a great aspect as well. To refresh and to prepare was a great thing. To get away. I just want you to know, stress is not something you just avoid. Stress has to be turned to trust. So I couldn't just avoid stress for a month. I had to learn to trust God deeper in the stress that there is in being a parent of young children, the stress there is of being responsible. All of those things, you can't just avoid it and go away from it. It's that you learn to trust deeper in it. And that's what's a little bit different about these times away. It's not just a vacation where I just divert my attention. I'm just going to go to Disney World and I'm going to act like I don't do anything anywhere else. We're just going to have fun. I'm just going to divert my attention. Instead, it's more of a strategic focus that you say, I want to look deeper into my own heart and deeper into my own life. And I just want you to know, sabbatical times, rest times, getaway times, solitude times are not just for pastor types. It's for believers. It's called the Sabbath day of rest. And when you rest, you go to a deeper place in your life. And so I'm refreshed. I'm so refreshed. I'm going to preach 2-hour sermons now every week. So ready to go that's what it's going to be. But really to be able to come back and to just say thank you so much for you as a church, believing in my family, believing in me as a person, not just as a pastor, to be able to receive and to walk deeply in the things that God does. And at the same time, let this be an example. Maybe you need the same exact thing. And you can't do it in the same way, but all of us can get away for an afternoon and get with the Lord and just say, deep breath, because we're all running at a pace that's way too fast for any of us, but we're still doing it. And we just got to be able to calm down. So with that in mind, we're going to jump into the book of John, but let's pray together as we get started. Father, we just come. Why don't you grab hands with the person that's sitting next to you? Let's just hold hands around the place. Father, I come on my knees and the rest of the congregation comes with their hands held, Father, with neighbors that maybe they know and love and maybe somebody they just met. And we just come, Jesus, and we tell you, Lord, you are the refreshment. You are the truth. And Father, may my time away not be a point of jealousy where someone says, must be nice, but instead a point of encouragement where they say, yeah, I need that too. And so I pray, Jesus, as we look into the book of John, we look forward to what you're going to do, God. Amazing things you're going to do. And we just come on bended knee and clasped hands right now asking you, Jesus, that you do great things in us as individuals. And if you do great things in us as individuals, then the next thing that will happen is you will do great things in us as a church. And that will happen because we're just a body, a congregation of individuals. And so we come and we thank you, Jesus, and we ask that you would do something new and different in us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, with that said, let's turn to John chapter 1. Verse 1 is where we're going to be, and we're going to kick off. We're going to be in John for 2 years, okay? So the first year is going to be John chapter 1 through 11. Somebody misunderstood me and thought I said verses 1 through 11. They're like, Pastor, can we spend a year in 11 verses? I mean, come on. It's going to be chapters 1 through 11. It's the ministry of Jesus. Then next year, we're going to look at chapters 12 through 21, which is the last week of Jesus' life. So we did that last year. John chapter 1 through 11, and then John chapter 12 through 21 is what we're going to do the second year. This book of John is so rich. You could hand the book of John to somebody that's not a believer in Christ, and you could say, read this, and they could become a believer in Jesus. You could hand this book of John to somebody that's been walking with God for decades and say, read this, and they would come back saying, I'm seeing things I've never seen before. This is amazing. You could hand it to most of us that hadn't been walking decades and aren't a new believer, but we're just trying to keep walking with the Lord, and we could get some pure gold out of this thing. The book of John is an incredible deal. If you're not real familiar with your Bible, there's 4 books that begin the New Testament. And so the New Testament begins with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. If you could think about those 3 of having a string around them, that they're a synopsis. They have a lot of the similar stories. And by reading the 3 of them, you're getting a look at a diamond from 3 different facets of the diamond. Same diamond, but 3 different angles. The book of John is a tad bit different. The book of John, 90% of the book of John is unique to John. 90%. Isn't that amazing? I learned that in my study. That blew me away. Because I always kind of thought at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we just put a big bow around all of them. 90% of John is unique to John. Even in the beginning that we'll talk about today. In the beginning, when you look at the beginning of Matthew and Luke, you start with the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus. That's the beginning of Matthew and Luke. Mark begins with the ministry of John the Baptist. That's where Mark begins. And John, as we'll see in just a moment, he goes in the beginning of John all the way back to the beginning, to pre-creation, way back before. He wrote it to Gentile believers. It's a word that means people that were not Jewish. Now, Jewish folks obviously can get a lot of stuff out of it as well. But he wrote it to those that had not grown up in Judaism. And he wrote it and said, here's who Jesus is. Here's what this whole thing is about. As we journey through the book of John, we'll see the name John in the book of John. But that name is not the John that wrote it. It's talking about John the Baptist. John, the apostle, is the one that wrote it. The word John, the name John, means God has been gracious. What a great book. What a great title. My middle name actually is John, Gregory John Mott. Wasn't a book of Gregory, so I decided to go with the book of John. God has been gracious. And as we look into this, we're going to jump in. And this morning, we're going to jump in deep and we're going to move fast. But we're going to look at these verses in this first part of John, chapter 1, verse 1. Here we go. Let's read 1 and 2. And here we are. John 1, verse 1, verse 2. In the beginning, if you got a pen, underline that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John takes it all the way back to the beginning. Do you remember a year ago, almost to the day, I stood in this very spot, had just returned from sabbatical, and we started the book of Genesis. And where did the book of Genesis begin? Almost this same phrase. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, the Word was with God. John intentionally takes it all the way back to the beginning. In the beginning echoes his powerful voice in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning echoes God's powerful voice in Genesis 1:1. Now you got to get this. We've got to absorb this in our heart. This is a huge point. John is saying this is not a new idea. Jesus has been on the docket. Jesus has been on the calendar. Jesus has been coming through eternity since before eternity. I mean, way back in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, all throughout this, we're going to see that he doesn't even use the name Jesus till verse 17. It's all these pre-incarnate names of Jesus Christ. Before Jesus was born, names of Jesus Christ. Before the creation of the world, Jesus being talked about even in this moment. Remember when we went through Genesis and we talked about, you could see the gospel all the way through Genesis? Adam and Eve sinned, and then they had an animal that was slain for their sins. We sinned, and Jesus was slain for our sins. Noah built an ark, and he had a door that you would come through to be saved. Jesus, it says in the book of John, was the door in which you would come through to be saved. The gospel right there in Genesis. The Tower of Babel, a testimony to man's insecurity and ingenuity. And then they babbled and they had no unity between them. Then in Acts chapter 2, you have the Holy Spirit come, and unity comes together because Jesus brings unity. And then it goes through with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and this seed is coming through, and it's going to be the line of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not a new idea, is what John is saying. He is saying in the beginning, and when they're hearing this, they're going, whoa, Genesis 1:1, got it. In the beginning was the Word. Logos, it's the Greek word for word. It's the word that you would use if you wanted to use the word to explain the word word. So it means word, you got it? For those in the 80s, word, okay? It's word. Logos means word. And so he says the Word was with God. The Word was God. Now we can look and say, okay, well, that's Jesus. We understand that. When the Greeks heard this, they heard the Word. That word, Word, meant the soul of the universe. That's what they heard when they were Greek. That this was the epicenter, the soul of creation going out. That with a word, God spoke it. When God said, let there be light. When God said, let there be land. When God said, let there be animals, let there be sky. God said it. It happened. There was a word from God that was the soul of the universe that created the whole thing out. When the Hebrews heard it, they heard about it as a revelation that it was the Word of God. It was the Old Testament. That it was the word from God to the prophets. It was the word of the covenant. It was the word of divine guidance. It was the word of judgment, of deliverance. So the Greeks heard it as the soul of the universe. The Hebrews heard it as the word of God coming forward. Well, which is it? Yes. Yes. It's the word going forward that God has spoken. And God has spoken in such a way that in the beginning of Genesis, God created, and he created with his word. And in the beginning of John, the word was with God. It's as if God spoke. Not even as if, it's God spoke. God spoke, and it reverberated from eternity past to eternity future. There is a sound wave of God that is reverberating out, and Jesus is not a new idea. And this reverberation of the voice, of the word, of the declaration, of the sound wave of God in creation is a sound wave that is rolling through our time as well. And you and I are just small surfers on the sound wave of God. As many thousands upon millions upon hundreds of thousands, billions have been able to do before. And so our life that we get so worried and concerned about is in the reverberation of his word. The word in the beginning, the word was with God, and the word was God. God speaks. Hear that in the beginning of this semester if you're a student. Hear that in the beginning of this time if you're a new parent.
Hear that in the beginning if you're an empty nester. Hear that in the beginning of your widow chapter of life. God speaks. How will he speak to you this year? What will be the beginning for you this year? Now, we all kind of operate on school system beginnings and ends, even if we don't have children in school or we don't go to school. There's something about summer being over and fall beginning. It feels like a line. What will be different this year than was different last year? What will you stop doing? What will you start doing? How will you think differently this year than what you thought last year? Because if you don't really decide and think about it, what's going to happen is at the end of this year, you're going to be just like you were at the beginning of this year. At the end of this year, nothing's going to change. And you're going to spend a lot of time in church and doing different things, but nothing's going to ever change. God wants to speak. And he has been speaking, and it's rolling out. God speaks to his people. That's not an audible voice. It's not you just go in your bedroom and God just goes boom, 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 you know, may the force be with you kind of stuff. It's not that. He doesn't sound like James Earl Jones. It's not anything like that. It is that a believer in Christ has a heart that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's a new covenant relationship with Jesus. He lives inside of you. And now that he lives inside of you, he speaks to you with a peace that passes all understanding. So you pray and you say, Lord, I need to know what to do in this area. I need to understand what's going to give you the most glory. How do you want me to function in this area? And a peace will hit your heart. Over this time of sabbatical, I got to spend some good time with my daughter in particular, who is 2.5. And so it's fun to get to hang out with her because we've had a lot of, you know, it's real mom-centered at the beginning of babies. And so you've got some time now with dad. And so we're playing and she's babbling and talking. And I mean, it's just a blast. So I'd rock her to sleep at night. So I'd be rocking her to sleep. And it's funny the songs that'll come out of you when you're rocking your baby to sleep because they say, one more. And you're like, and you just start coming up with these songs, you know, coming out. And so in coming out, the song that came out of me and that has really with both of our kids is an old praise chorus, and you might not even know it, but they sang it in my church when I was a teenager, and I just stuck in me at a deep place, and it was this: God still moves, in the hearts of his people, God still moves. He does not sleep, he does not slumber, God still moves. I sing that because I want her to know that when you sleep and when you slumber, God's not going to sleep. God's awake all night taking care of you. God doesn't slumber. He doesn't do anything. His word is reverberating through all of eternity. He's never even blinked, much less gone to sleep. And so when I set you into this crib, your mom and I are trusting that you'll trust that God doesn't slumber so that you will not wake up through the night either. It's what we don't want you to do. God's awake, so you don't have to be. Just stay asleep is what we want you to do. In the name of Jesus, stay asleep. God still moves in the hearts of his people. He speaks. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it just goes out and out and out to the ends of the universe. It's continuing to go. My time of sabbatical away, I had a time where I had a time of just solitude. I just got away by myself. No, I didn't do TV through the whole sabbatical, basically. But particularly in this time, technology, all that stuff, just try to throw it all away. I got some time of solitude, just me. And I went to a place out in the country that some church members of ours have. And so it was great to have their generosity and to go out there and just be alone. There wasn't a person within probably half a mile around me, which for a city boy is spooky, is what that is. So I'm more comfortable if it was like in Manhattan, I'd be more comfortable hearing sirens. So I got out there, I was like, I'm going to get killed out here. That's what's going to happen. And they're not going to find me for like 3 days because they'd be like, well, he's just spending time with Jesus. And I'm like, I'm rotting. I'm already with Jesus. Give me a decent funeral, you know? And so I'm scared. And so I'm kind of like a little nervous out there and I hear things and hear, you know, cows and deers. And you know, I'm like, oh man, this is crazy. So then I'm convinced the Unabomber saw me at the store, you know? And so I get there and so I finally settle in. Then it gets night. And so I decide, you know, I just need to pray and I want to pray. And that was kind of on the agenda. And on this couch, they had these pillows, as we all do. We decorate our couches, had these pillows. And one of them had a cross on it.
And they had wood floor in that place, and so it was kind of rough on my knees. So I took that pillow, and I kneeled down on the cross. And I just put my face in the chair, and I said, God, would you speak to me? Lord, would you speak to our church? Would your word reverberate in our hearts? I don't hear from God, Pastor. Do you get alone on your knees at the cross with God? If you do, you will hear. The word was with God. Not plan B. Not just, oh, it's New Testament, we got to come up with something new. The word was with God from the beginning, and it's reverberating and going out. God still moves. It's the soul of the universe. It's the person of Christ. It's the declaration of God. It's all of those things going out, and you and I are just a surfer on the sound wave of the word of God. For this point in time, from eternity past to eternity future, a part of the billions of people that have the decision before them to trust Jesus to be the wave that they ride. We're going to memorize some scripture this year. We've got a calendar. It's a missions calendar. You're going to get one of these when you walk out the door. Everybody get one. Ours is on our fridge is where we have one, and we already writing down with a Sharpie things going on. And on every month, you've got the verse that we're going to memorize for the month. So we're not like memorizing too much. It's a verse a month. We can do it, okay? We can do it. We're smart people. So here's our first verse for the month of what we're going to do, and we're going to read it on the screens together three times together. And here it is. Let's read it together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, verse 1. Again, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, verse 1. Last time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, verse 1. You could do that. I could do that. Put that in you. Because from the very beginning, it's going out further and further and further. See, we've got to understand by looking as he goes further, if you look back in your Bibles in verse 3, for through him, well, who's him? Him's the Word. Who's him in the Word? We know that's Jesus coming up. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing that was made was made. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, he puts it like this. For he is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. For by him, all things were created, whether things in heaven or things on earth, whether rulers, powers, thrones, or principalities, all things were created by him. For he is before all things in the beginning. And by him, all things hold together. God is the creator of the world. And hear this. Belief in creation precedes trust in redemption. Belief in creation precedes trust in redemption. Oftentimes, why people are not believing in the redemption of Jesus anymore is because they have been taught wrongly that there was no creation in God anymore. That science created, but we still don't know what to do with our sin. Science created, so we'll just do our own thing now. If God is not creator, you will never trust Jesus as redeemer. If God is not creator, you will never trust Jesus as savior. Now, if you're struggling with creationism, I bring you back a year ago. We did like 3 or 4 weeks on that. Go to Corner Books and get those messages. That's where we started with Genesis 1. We're not avoiding that. We covered that extensively last year. When you believe that God is creator, you understand that God created you and he created the world and he created the way the world works. And when we don't do what God wants us to do, we go against creation and it's called sin. God didn't create us to be lustful in our passions. God created us to be pure, but we are lustful. And so we realize that that is sinful. So now we need a savior because we know God hasn't created us for this, though that we've done this and now we need a savior from this. God didn't create us to lie. He created us to be in truth. But we do sometimes shade the truth, bend the truth, lie. And so when we bend that and break that and do wrong by that, we realize we need a Savior that can save us from doing that wrong. The Creator is the Savior. And if you don't have the Creator, you don't have sin, and all you have is choice. It's just choices.
Because who have I wronged? No victim, no foul. Does it wrong me? Who can say it's wrong for me? It wrongs God. That's who it wrongs. And God has set things up in a way that he is the creator. And when you wrong the creator, it's called sin. And when you sin, you need a savior. And in the beginning, the word was with God and the word was God. And in him, all things were made that were made. Nothing was made that wasn't made by him. He is the creator of all this. The lack of respect for Christ is just the blossom of the seeds of evolution that we've planted. It's his world. It's not science's world. It's God's world. And we have this battle. Did science do this? Well, if science does it, let's just honor science. God do this? Well, if God's done it, then let's honor God. So you have this battle between God and science. This one lady puts it like this. An astronomer, her belief is that science should overrule God. That's her belief. Listen to her quote. Science itself should attempt to supplant or replace God in Western culture by providing the benefits or comforts that people find in religion, such as community, ceremony, and a sense of awe. Science itself should attempt to supplant or replace God. She goes on, she says this, imagine congregations raising their voices in tribute to gravity, the force that binds us to earth, the earth to the sun, and sun to the Milky Way. Can you imagine if we'd have walked in here and they would have been like playing a song and it would have been about gravity? You'd have gone to a funeral and you'd been like, thank God. Well, there is no God. We're grateful for gravity here that this person has died. They're going to stay 6 feet under. We are so grateful for that. Family, be encouraged in their death that they will remain. They will not float out. Be comforted. And let's all sing one more stanza of a song about gravity together. It's crazy. I kind of rewrote last night. I got my hymnal out, and I started thinking about this even a little bit more. And I got the right song instead of holy, holy, holy. You know the great hymn, holy, holy, holy. I rewrote it to be gravity, gravity, gravity. So I'm going to just give you a couple verses of my new song. It's copyrighted. Don't steal it. I'll sue you. Here we go. This is what it says. Gravity, 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 scientific force almighty. Early in the morning, my feet will stick to earth. Gravity, 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 wrinkles you cause me. My skin is falling down now for all the world to see. Gravity. Isn't that great? Now you see why Stephen does the music, I do the speaking, you understand. It's crazy. It's crazy. She knew it was crazy because she ends her quote by this. The people who want to know that they're going to live forever and meet their mom and dad in heaven, well, we can't offer that. And I submit to you that that is the cry of every heart from the voice of God that's reverberating out, is to know that there's a voice that lasts past our voice and that you will see mom and dad in heaven and that you will have an eternal life through a salvation relationship with Jesus Christ. Preceding redemption has to be creation. Then we get to the next little section here in verse 4. If you'll read verse 4. In him, who's that? That's the word. That's Jesus. In him was life. And wait till you hear what this word life means. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. In him, he's not only the word that's reverberating through history. He is the life. He's not only the life. This life is going to give us light. So now we have the life of Jesus in us that gives us light to walk out this aspect of the world, of God's will in the world. Life. His life is our light. His life is our light. The only way you see clearly in life is to have the light of the life of Jesus in you. Now, he could have used three different words in the Greek to be able to explain life. One of them, we all know, it's bios, which is biology, right? Cells, bones, biology, biological life. The other word that he could use would be the word that would explain life, which would describe your personality. Your personality could be described. But he uses a word called zoa. And it's a word that describes the eternal spirit, the deepest part of you and me, our passion, our purpose, our reason for living. So he says in verse 4, in him was passion, purpose, reason for living, the deepest part, life. And that life, the passion, the purpose, the deepest part of living, that was the light. That was the light. So that through him all men might believe, and says in verse 7. And it says that that light shines in verse 5 in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So this essence of life, this reverberating voice, gives us light so that we can understand that we're a surfer on this wave of God. God, what do you want me to do? Show me light because you speak to your people. I want to know in the stillness of my heart what you desire. And that light goes forth into a dark world. It says the darkness has not understood it. You could take that word understood and you could also translate it overcome it. You could translate it overcome it. You could translate it quenched it, mastered it, or understood it. It's the word of saying that the light has gone forward. And we hadn't completely understood it because it's so big time. But at the same time, the light has not been swallowed by the darkness. Do not be deceived when it looks like the world is going down. Jesus' voice is going out. It's going out. And the darkness will not quench the light. It will not overcome the light. It will not master the light. And John the Apostle says the light shines in the darkness, and no darkness will quench it, overcome it, because this light is the life, the passion, the purpose of Jesus that's been planned from eternity past. It's a reverberating voice. Get on the wave. Get on the wave. His life is our light. And when you see this light, and you see these things, you can think about in Genesis, what was the first thing God created? Let there be light. John pulls it straight in. He says, in the beginning, let there be light. Don't worry. There already was light, and his name was Christ. Jesus is not a new idea from the beginning. And that's where this gospel takes off from. Look, if you will, in verse 6 through 9, and we'll wrap up. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. That's not the John that wrote this book. That's John the Baptist, okay? He was a member of our church. John the Baptist, just kidding. So we're like, wow, this is an old place. We stole the name from him. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. That's John the Baptist. That's not John that wrote this. It's John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify that the light, so that through him all men might believe. Not a limited amount of men, not a special amount of men. All men might believe. It's going out to everyone. In verse 8, he himself, John, was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man. Not just some people, not just a little small section of people. Everybody's got access to be able to come to the light. Gives light to every man that was coming into the world. So now we get this thing as we move through in the darkness, and we'll begin to close, that John is sent because this light is so vast we can't even comprehend it. And so we need somebody, not to be the light, that's Jesus. We need somebody to point to the light, to say, hey, there's a light coming. There's a bridge that's coming, and this light won't be overtaken by darkness. This light is the light that is true. We can't completely understand it, so we're going to trust. We're not going to believe in John. We're going to believe through John. He's going to point us a direction. Then we're going to go, thanks, John, for the directions. We're going this way. Got it. You're not the one we're going to. We're going to this one. You can't even untie this next one's sandals. And so he says, I'm pointing in this way. It's come from God, and I'm pointing all men to the light, and that light is Jesus Christ. You know that sin loves darkness? Sin loves secrets. Whole lot easier, students, to sin at 11 p.m. than it is 11 a.m. Most purity is not lost in the morning as it is in the nighttime. You drive by on the way home today and you pass by a bar. Look at it in the daytime. Absorb it in a daytime. It is a dump. It is a dump. Go buy a men's club. What an oxymoron. True men don't go there. And look at it. It's a dump. But then wait till darkness falls, and it'll begin to use light to make it look so tempting. And John said the darkness isn't going to overcome it. I'm pointing to a light that will expel darkness that will never be overcome. And I'm pointing to it, and the true light is coming just as it was prophesied in the Old Testament, just as it was spoken in the Word, just as when God said light, it goes out. Your life can rest on His Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And it's continuing to go out. As I said, I got to go to Utah, and I would spend the morning studying, and then we'd go hiking in the afternoon. And so we went on a hike basically every day. It was awesome to be able to go. And we'd take the chairlift up and then walk down. And walking down is harder than walking up sometimes. Flat is the best. But up and down was getting a little bit hard. And so what would happen is I'd walk so much and hike so much on those 4 or 5 days that I actually got tendonitis in my left foot. So right underneath the ball of my foot, it got real tender. This tendonitis was like, shh. And every step after I'd gotten home, thankfully it wasn't there, I was like, man, that hurts. Man, that hurts. I was like, I'm turning 40, and I got glasses now. My feet are hurting. I'm getting gray hair. I told my mom this on the phone, and she said, you just wait till you turn 60, Bubba. I'm like, oh, no, man, it's downhill from here. And so I got this tendonitis just going, and I was just hurting. But on the hikes, they were beautiful, breathtaking hikes. You'd get up there, and it'd just be amazing to see these views. And as you'd be hiking, you'd see these trees going out. And a lot of the trees, the really big trees, they would go out from the side of the mountain, out, and then go up. They go out and up. And I was looking at that and just kind of noticing that. Why were they doing that? They were doing that because they were reaching for the light. They'd go out from the side of the mountain because there was too much darkness here. And then they'd go up to the light so that they could get the light. Light is necessary for life. And I want to challenge you today and challenge you in the beginning as we go out with the Word that this year would be different, that we'd go out and up. We go out a little bit different, a little bit awkward, different muscles used. Out and up. Let this beginning be different. Let this Word reverberate in your life. And you'll hear from God. And you'll find that you're riding the wave of His will, not fighting with Him to get on to your will. And that's where the Christian life is lived.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.